Join us this week as we talk in brief about a huge monster on a small scale invading your Saturday morning cartoons. But will this series add to the lore of the number two kaiju, or will it rise above its big kaiju competition? Find out along with us. This is Kaiju versus History, Kong, the animated series. Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is Cyberlink Ape Avatar Miles, and joining me is a hip Gen X hero looking to save the world, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week?
Totally tubular, Miles. How's it going?
I love late 90s, early 2000s entertainment in general, especially the entertainment geared towards a younger demographic, because it tries so hard to be quote-unquote hip.
Like it definitely feels like the advertisements that they would like try to do, I don't know, for like Burger King, like the UK Kids Club. Like
we all know the effect that had on me. If you listen to our Whimsy World thing, like Kid Vid was my dude.
I was about to say our main character on this series really does. It's got a Kid Vid vibe going with the headpiece and whatnot. But yeah. For some reason I thought the animation style was more closely related for this show. We're talking, of course, about the Kong the animated series, not King Kong, just Kong the animated series, but closer to the Godzilla animated series. But these are actually very different. I was surprised, and it makes me realize I don't think I had watched any of this animated
I never saw this. And it's funny that you talk about how different this is, but like at the same time, this really does feel like a sibling show to Godzilla the Animated Series, or the series.
They have kind of similar vibes, but they're in different universes, but they feel like they should have been made in the same universe.
This should have been a Godzilla Kong action hour on Saturday morning, leading up at some point to a VHS tape or something that would actively have like a TV movie or something where these worlds collided and we had Godzilla and Kong. I mean, they are very different in how they choose to do their stories. This is an actual sequel to the original 1933 King Kong, whereas the Godzilla series is a direct sequel to the 98 Roland Emmerich film. But like you said, they have such a similar vibe. And even like the style of the animation, while not one for one, just it feels like they are part of the same universe.
Well, and thematically, they're both technically like the children of kaiju, because in both of the series, the original monster died. Like this, like you said, did take place after, Kong died. And maybe it was the 30s in this series. I don't know if they actually say like when.
I think they mention like the original Kong dying or something. Yeah. So I think we're supposed to think this is a sequel to the 33 movie.
Yeah, for certain, though, it is very similar in that this is a clone of Kong. So it's kind of like his progeny, Kong Jr., if you will. But maybe that's why it's not a King Kong. It's just Kong here. But yeah, the Godzilla show also had one of the eggs that was spared from the 1998 TriStar movie turning into the new Godzilla. So like you said, it really does feel like these should be together on the same hour, but I think they're on different channels. I think they were technically competing, right?
They may have been. This
started out on, I think,
Fox Kids.
Yeah. And then did not last very long there. And then had the rest of the episodes, I think, were aired internationally.
Fox Kids aired half the series before taking it off the air, and then I think Disney Channel picked it up a few years later, which I do not remember seeing it on Disney at all, but apparently it was on Toon Disney's Jetix block in anticipation for the release of the Peter Jackson film.
Yeah, there's some weird rights issues with that, because I think Disney owns part of Kong at some point, or owned part of Kong at some point.
Oh, wild.
Maybe like the RKO... Not the RKO film reproduction rights, but the story rights, which is, what things like the Mighty Kong were based on. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess before we go any further, I got to do my due diligence. Patrick, what, if anything, in this case, isn't a title?
I forgot. Is there anything that I mean, this show, I wanted to talk about before we got like super far into it, is a television show. And, you know, as we've said before, we've made some exceptions to do special episodes that are not films. This is primarily, you know, Kaiju is a film medium. But yeah, we are adding in some of these shows that take the characters from films and or does like a sequel to a movie kind of thing. I feel like that is useful. I don't know. I don't think there's many kaiju shows outside of like the big three now, Kong, Godzilla, and now Gamera has got his own show.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a couple things from the tokusatsu stuff, like your Zone Fighters, and
yeah,
you know,
that you literally had Godzilla in it, so it's hard to
right.
skip that.
But so there is obviously with your Super Sentai and stuff, there is certainly a history of giant monsters. But I mean, again, we chose to be primarily a film podcast, except when we chose not to be.
It's just fun special episodes where we get to talk a little bit about television. And, you know, part of this is I did want to watch the show after we watched the Godzilla animated series, because that one wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
No, it's a fun show, and this seems to follow suit in a different way. I was honestly the one thing I noticed about the show is it's pretty much it is a Monster of the Week show, but like it actually has a concurrent story. Like yeah. I watched several episodes, story. And like it just keeps. I mean, it's just the story just keeps on going.
Yeah, just like Godzilla, there's like reoccurring story elements. And I mean, honestly, the earliest show I can really remember doing that very well was Disney's Gargoyles. That was the first animated show I felt like had that kind of deeper story. But yeah,
you know my example.
Oh, what was it?
Pirates of Darkwater.
Oh, yeah, that was even before Gargoyles, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe a year or two before. Oh, no. So it was 91. What was Gargoyles? 95
or something. Yeah. So, yeah, I did want to do this one because while I was tangentially aware of the 1998 Godzilla animation, I was in high school by the time this animated series came out, so I was not watching cartoons Saturday mornings. I was very preoccupied with a million other nerdy things.
Right.
And trying to get girls to notice me and playing Magic the Gathering. I think that was my high school experience. Not much for...
I love how you follow up trying to get girls to notice me with playing Magic the Gathering.
Well, I would not let them see me play Magic.
Not that girls will play Magic the Gathering.
I mentioned it that this is one of the first properties, I guess, outside of Mighty Kong that doesn't have King Kong as his name. But that kind of becomes the standard now because... the MonsterVerse drops the king in King Kong, and the only other time we really get that, maybe it's a rights issue, is when they are doing a remake of the original King Kong, you know?
Yeah, or it's that, you know, America has finally come to their senses and recognized there's only one king of the monsters. I'm not unconvinced that the new MonsterVerse series isn't leading us to a King Kong.
Oh, at the end of this next movie, which will be out, I think, by the time this episode comes out, but we were recording it beforehand. I mean, for certain.
From what I've seen, we seem to have a contention for a crown. So, I mean.
Yeah, Godzilla's going to rule above and Kong's going to rule the new empire below in the hollow earth. I mean, that's what the story is seemingly going towards.
But yeah, hollow earth.
not much in the titles for this one.
That's why I thought it was funny, because everything I saw was just like basically a translation of Kong the animated series.
Well, it's just like the King Kong, you know, remake. It's like that is such a well-known name worldwide, there isn't really any other adaptations or translations of the title.
Yeah. And So this series starts off, I mean, on a pretty, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I had a pretty good time with this show. despite not being a Kong fan, I think it's, I mean, I would certainly say off the bat, like, if you like Godzilla series, and I know that there are listeners we had that are big fans of that series, then I would absolutely encourage you to check out the Kong series, because I think there is some shared DNA. I think if you enjoyed the Godzilla series, you're going to have a lot of fun with this one.
It's a little sillier, you know, but believe it or not.
Oh, I mean, it is very much. Series. We are selling action figures. Oh
yeah.
What's this guy going to transform into today?
Yes. Yeah. It's very much. And like, even the weird internet thing that he uses on his head,
the cyberlink.
The cyberlink. Yeah, of course. How do I forget the cyber? It felt like some classic Henshin, like, oh, this is something we could totally make into a kid's toy if this becomes popular enough. And just,
they even have a morphing sequence of sorts. It's, yeah, it very much Henshin, very, very at the time Power Rangers. And I mean, I love that it uses this kind of technomancy that seemed to be shorthand for, like, we want to use, you know, the internet in some capacity, because everything around the late 90s, early 2000s was using that. I mean, I'm reminded of a show beloved to me, and I think no one else, The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, doing this.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, it's something fun, because, like, of course it's this emerging technology for the mainstream audience. And so, like, looking back on it now, where it's like, you know, the primitive internet days, you're just like, how silly were we?
the cyberlink uses the power of, like, internet access, and I mean, it's so funny,
it
that
changes your DNA and links you to another creature.
What is the new thing that's out? The Vision Pro, the Apple Vision Pro,
right?
Our boy Jason was using that, like, 20 years earlier,
right? I also love that, of course, with this American card, you have the most, like, just generic American boy name. Jason
Jenkins, yeah. Voiced by Kirby Morrow in the show. And you probably know him from a lot of anime and U.S. animated shows.
Yeah, I was looking into some of these voice actors, and a lot of them have pretty lengthy resumes.
And figure, like, what the biggest thing.
Oh, he was Goku in the Ocean dub of Dragon Ball Z. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's about as big as it gets is for Dragon Ball Z. And
he was Cyclops in the X-Men anime. Evolution cartoon.
Yeah, which
I love that cartoon.
One thing I wanted to mention was the animation for this show. Like I said, I thought this was going to be a lot closer to the Godzilla one, but the series was a co-production between BKN International, Clips Animation, and production company M6. These are mostly German and French animation studios, and they worked on the My Pet Monster animated show, Dork Hunters from Outer Space. Have you heard of the show?
I have not.
This is a new one for me. And that one I did think make it to the US. I don't think this one did. Dogmatics and the Indomitables, the animated show. Dogmatics and the, go ahead though, and you and those listening, Dork Hunters from Outer Space, go ahead and just Google that. Yeah, exactly. Philippine Animation Studio also helped with both this and the 90s X-Men animated series, as well as Biker Mice from Mars. We've talked about that. So they share some animators between this and, you know, I was very surprised that to learn that the animation work was not always all done by one studio. You would have, like, chunks of seasons done by multiple animation studios. And I guess that's how they could, you know, churn out so many episodes so quickly. Is like, okay, this company in Asia gets 10 episodes, this German company gets 10, and somehow they, you know, I guess they use the same kind of base artwork, so it kind of comes together. But
I was disappointed to find that the voice actor for the bad guy, David Kay, who has also been in a lot of these, Professor X and X-Men Revolutions, and he has a like I said, a lot of these guys have been working in animation for a very, very long time. I was disappointed to find out that, like, because he sounds so much like him, that he's not the voice of Leonardo Leonardo in the Clerks animated series.
he's kind of got that look, too.
He's got that look and that sound to him. And I'm just like, I'm expecting him to go like, well played, Clerks.
This show's animation style feels like it is trying to, excuse the pun, Miles, ape Disney's animated style, but like early 90s, late 80s kind of animation style. It's a little grungy. It's a little, but the character designs are very much in that mold. And I actually like them. I like it more than Godzilla. Like I said, I didn't like that style for the Godzilla animated show. But
yeah, I mean, we've made our opinion of that design for a character named Godzilla pretty well known. So I mean, that's more or less what that one is. But yeah, this Kong, like, not bad looking.
All the character designs, like his good friend Tan, Eric Tannenbaum,
looks like. So it didn't really say. I don't think it. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. If he's in high school or college, I assumed college.
I'm pretty sure college. Yeah, I think there's.
Because I was like, why does Tan look like he's like 45 years old?
Well, he's got that chin strap that just runs down his massive chin. I was like, that is such a design choice. He's voiced by Scott McNeil, who also voices Kong. Right? Yeah, and it's a. Most of these guys are Canadian kind of voice actors, and
also in Dragon Ball Z as Piccolo.
Yeah, I was about to say he's done a ton of animated and anime shows throughout the years.
Yeah, I'm looking at his resume, and I mean
Gundam, a lot of Gundam, some One Piece.
He's in X-Men Evolution. He's Wolverine, and yes, I think God, so far every. Guys. I think every major voice actor in this show like did Gundam. It's very wild. Kirby Morrow was also in like several Gundam shows. I think he's in Wing, 00, and Seed. It might be more. So how do we feel? I mean, we've kind of danced around the plot a little bit, but basically, at the cold open is that young Jason and his grandmother live peacefully with Kong, but this group of mercenaries or terrorists or something are trying to get a hold on Granny's research and basically causes an incident. Grandma runs off with Kong and Jason goes to live in the States to go to school and be safe. And we flash forward to about
like a decade,
12 years later.
Yeah. Maybe, something like that. Some indeterminate amount of time.
Yeah. He's supposed to go on spring break on excavation. Well, he believes is an excavation with his grandmother. And the professor, whose design looks exactly like the masked fellow that we saw just 2 minutes prior.
Yeah, I'm wondering how like hard they had to like bang that in for kids to like understand it was the same guy.
I mean, they didn't even like, he didn't even
Tan's like, just, there's something I don't like about that
professor. Makes my toe itch.
Oh my God, the Tan's lines. I don't like that Professor Della Porta. Well, maybe that's your problem, Tan.
Well, like I mean, both him and Kong got the itchy toe. They don't like him.
Yeah, Kong like sniffs the air. It's like, I remember that smell from 10 years ago.
Exactly. And so basically the professor asks if he can go along. Jason, who I guess had been putting it off, emails his grandmother. And the professor, who, again, you'd have to just be in the right place at the right time to intercept an email is not as easy as just catching and then sending a spoofed response.
I'm so confused why that was like a major plot point.
Yes. But anyway, the professor goes to essentially Skull Island.
Yeah, but it's in the Bermuda Triangle. So that's another, of course, it is. That's another change from, I guess, standard Kong mythos where is it normally Pacific? Where is Skull Island?
I think it is in the Pacific. This one feels a lot more like the Savage Land from the X-Men.
Yeah.
There's elements of that in Skull Island, but this one just felt much more of like, oh, we've got saber-toothed tigers and we've got every dinosaur, like welcome to Jurassic Park. It's a cool setting. And obviously like,
yeah,
he meets Kong pretty much immediately. And, oh, very, very quickly, the professor kind of just announces his intent.
Yeah, he's stolen onto this island to both take the research, but also he needs it to find the Dragon Balls and bring them all together. And
so he can rule the universe, I think, or make it in his own image. It's like a very, very common, like, and I will rule the world.
The primal stones.
Yes, the primal stones.
Trying to get that the stones are, for the demon Kairos, who's a
they just look like on. Teeth. They're very unimpressive to me, these stones. And apparently, if a single stone leaves the island, the mystical lock that keeps the demon Chiron, is that his name? Chiron? Yeah.
Kairos.
At bay, that I guess the original Kong way back when helped trap, but there is DNA memory. We're getting to Assassin's Creed science here. Kong remembers Kairos.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch long enough to see them unlock old Kairos, but
I like how Kong was able to fight and banish a demon, but some biplanes like in this mythology.
And there's also, we also have a local girl and her pet saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah, Lua is an interesting addition. It's, you know, it's kind of good. It's not in the Pacific Island. She is just like somewhat ethnic. She has like slightly darker skin than all the white characters in the show. But she is native to this Bermuda Triangle land, supposedly.
It reminds me of, did you ever watch the 90s Land of the Lost?
Yeah.
And they included a local girl. I think her name was actually Krista. Krista. Yeah, there it is. Played by Shane Day. Where they had her as the like de facto like cave girl, even though I think she was supposed to be like, I don't think she was originally a cave girl. I can't remember. But she felt like this kind of like the kind of character, like, oh, we're also gonna have, you know, a native to this island person as part of the crew.
Yeah. And the trio, I guess, kind of the four of them with the aunt, is it his Jason's
grandma? Aunt?
Grandma. Yeah. She doesn't seem that old. I don't know.
No, but she does not seem very old, which is fine. I mean, you can have young grandmas. It's fine.
Yeah. The Lorna, they make a pretty good crew. At least I kind of enjoy them more than the like four main Godzilla.
Yeah. Folks. Yeah. I mean, Nick is fine, even though like it doesn't
not,
have
it's
the
not
charm.
His character from the movie at all.
Really. Exactly. And none of them are. And you have that weird love triangle that's going on in that show.
Yeah. It's pretty exhausting.
This one's really cut and dry. I like the characters. You have the one guy who's supposed to be, you know, the aloof best friend. Do you always have one?
Tan's so weird. He's like rich, I think, because it's like his plane that they fly out to the island, and he's also, I think, supposed to be extremely smart, but he's also kind of a bit of a bruiser, big lunkhead, which is kind of funny. It feels like they did skip over some more stereotypical characters, but they're still, I don't know, prototypical in like the main character Jason is just very much like your blank protagonist that anyone can hopefully see themselves in. And he does a lot of worgen in this show. Miles, he wargs into a lot of kaiju and fights other kaiju, which has this been done before in other media? Like, it's great. Awesome.
I would say there's probably been some sort of version of it in like a tokusatsu show, like Metal Hero kind of does something like that sometimes. And I mean, even the Super Sentai stuff has done stuff where like, oh no, we actually transform into other creatures, you know, the variations for sure. I couldn't say.
It's so smart for a kid's show. And it also,
it just breeds toys.
And the technology allows them to kind of monster interbreed. What's the name of that stupid video game? Not Monster Hunter, but the there's a Japanese game where you can like, you put the CD in and you get like new monsters.
Monster Rancher?
Yeah, Monster Rancher. It kind of feels like that because you have all these kaiju, and some of the bad guys actually make like chimera in the show by taking like a bird and a lizard and then like fusing with them, which so, I thought was very interesting.
Here is my problem. And this is really my big problem with this show. Mm-hmm. Is yes, we see the bad guy. Leonardo, it's not him. But we see
Ramon De La Porta.
Professor De La Porta, who also like he's just a professor. He doesn't even have his doctorate. Like, how serious of a bad guy is he?
Well, I imagine he took the job just to get close to Jason.
Oh, I understand that, but it's just like, oh man, you don't even have your doctorate. How serious are you? Get out of here. So when he links up with things, you know, you get this different creature altogether. You get like him with the saber-toothed tiger. I cannot remember the saber-toothed tiger's name. Chandar.
Yeah.
You get this cool human tiger hybrid. Very cool. When Jason links up with Kong, it's just a confused Kong. Like there is no alteration to Kong whatsoever, other than that he's extremely annoyed.
So I think I don't think they really show this very well, but I think he's supposed to get bigger slightly.
I thought so too, but I also had a difficult time seeing if I was just imagining that or not. And then there is also a sequence in a later episode where Kong goes into Jason for reasons I don't. Oh yeah, because they can somehow like teleport him that way.
That's weird.
It's like he goes into Jason. And then when Jason like crosses the river or whatever, they were doing,
he lets him out. Yeah.
Lets him out.
Interesting use of the technology.
It is, but like
weird, but interesting.
Yeah. Jason acts sort of Kong like there, but like there's no physical alteration to either hero. And I find that extremely annoying.
Maybe it's because Dr. Lorna saved the good Cyberlink.
The good Cyberlink for her, yeah. Her family.
Yeah, and all the other ones are corrupted. There's some very interesting monsters that he fights throughout the series. At some point, he fights like the Loch Ness Monster and some other kind of classic monsters. No other like, you know, named kaiju, of course. Not that there's Kong really has many enemies in the movies, but there are eventually like time travel plots and other, you know, super fantasy focused plots. The gang gets turned into like 10-year-olds at one point, which is always fun.
That's the episode. Like, I liked the finish because like I'm a fan of Nessie as a gentle creature. And so I was a little hesitant finding out that, oh yeah, Kong fights Nessie. Well, because Ramon merges with Nessie. And then at the end of the episode, Kong and Nessie play. And I was like, that's what I want to say.
Just about every episode, it's Dr. De La Porta or Professor De La Porta or one of his minions.
Do not give him that doctor. He has not earned that.
One of his several minions warging into a monster and trying to take on Jason and the crew. And Kong does what he does best. Kong smashes.
Yeah, I mean, Kong is certainly Kong in this. Not too different. And this series, I don't know how popular it was, but I mean, it got 2 seasons and 2 movies.
So, yeah, that's what I want to talk about. We are going to look at the movies. I think the plan currently is to do them both kind of like back to back. They are really kind of cash-ins for Peter Jackson's 2005 mm-hmm. King Kong adaptation, because the show had been off the air for like 3 years. So
they're both continuations of the show, right? They're not like, yes, they're not like, well, reboots.
I was very surprised. Yes, it is same characters, the same plot, same voice actors. So kudos to them for, you know, doing that. And I'm not sure if De La Porta and them return, but the first movie is 2005's Kong King of Atlantis, which is pretty cool if we're going to Atlantis to have some adventures.
Yeah, absolutely.
2006 is Kong Return to the Jungle. Not much else besides the films in way of legacy for this film. There were some video games that came out, which were much better kind of platformer action games compared to the Godzilla games. Were just Godzilla, the animated games we talked about on that episode, were just absolute trash. All in all, I enjoyed my time with this. I don't think it's one that I would, you know, extremely want to go back to. I think, though, if I had seen this when it was out, I would have enjoyed it for what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the same mind. I'm the same way with the Godzilla, the animated series. It's not necessarily a world or universe that I feel the pull to go back to, even though I certainly had a good time with it.
Yeah.
The same with this one. I feel like maybe if I had some nostalgia for it, but I don't love the animation quality a lot. And
quality is not great. I think design's pretty good.
And it also is very much a product of its time. And not being a Kong guy, obviously it's gonna you know, put a little bit on me, but certainly not a bad show at all.
Honestly, I think, you know, if I was to put a rating to both of them, it would be about a 6. I feel like this one gets a little bit better for the technical, but yeah, just no one knows about this show, you know.
Yeah, I would put it right about a 6, somewhere between a 6 and a 6.5. Like, I mean, it is certainly good, and I definitely encourage people that haven't seen it, that are either Kong fans or fans of Godzilla the animated series, to check it out, because if you are a fan of that show, you will most likely like this show.
And one thing I didn't mention is we watched, well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I watched almost all these. There is like a Kong animated series YouTube channel where I think almost every episode is on there. I don't know if the movies are. I haven't checked that, but you can find the movies at a lot of places. I feel like Tubi and things like that.
So, yes, Kong the Animated Series is also streaming for free on Peacock, wildly enough.
Oh, wow. I wonder if, rights issue.
But it is also on Tubi, as well as Pluto TV and the Roku channel. I think it's also on Amazon Prime. Like, I got to say, I mean, this is an easy one to watch, which is not always the case with stuff like this. So,
I'm actually crazy surprised. Well, I feel like it is not in demand, but it is.
Well, I also think I think the Kong rights are super loosey goosey, and so it's probably easy for something like this to just kind of pop up. And I mean, especially when this stuff comes around, it's easy to push. So I'm sure Peacock and Tubi be like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna push this to the front of our suggestions because we got some coming out."
Oh, right. So that's gonna do it for this little mini-sode. You know, just like we said, Godzilla the Animated Series, definitely worth checking out if you are a completionist or if you just have some time to kill and want a little fun, nostalgia-driven 90s, early 2000s animated show. If you want to reach out to us and tell us if there's an episode that we missed talking about here that you love, we're at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com is our email. On social medias, you can find us at Kaiju versus History. I forgot what it was for a second there. our website is kaijuversushistory.com, and you can find our Letterboxd at Kaiju versus History and see all of our reviews. So this one will be going up there with a 3-star, you know, for being a 6 out of 10. But yeah, there's plenty of ways to get in touch with us if you want to talk kaiju. We have our good friend Jared on X on Twitter who shared with us the Godzilla versus Kong epic rap battles of history, which just came out, which is,
oh yeah,
believe it or not, no references to the animated shows in the rap battle that was skipped over, but plenty of fun references in their many years of history, including the Kong versus Godzilla movie and some of the action in there. Miles, what are we doing next week? What are we going to do after this?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And yes, we're going to catch you next week when we go back to greener Toho pastures with the full swing of the Millennium series set to take off as 3 giant kaiju take on the King of the Monsters. That's right. Tune in next week for History versus Godzilla, Mothra, and King Ghidorah, giant monsters all out attack.